Arts is new revenue efforts. That's one way to put it.
I was being nice.
You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Foz Mamoon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 543 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Stephen Seagraves, joined today by Mr. Seth Miller and Foz Mamoon. Gentlemen.
Howdy.
Hola.
Got a lot to talk about. I guess first things first, Air India 171, the initial report is out. Seth, what do you make of it?
Well, if we were doing video here, I would do my little airplane movie where I could make origami out of it. But I don't know. That's where my brain went with that comment. Not good, right? So the data that we have is that basically about 3 or 4 seconds, I think, after the plane left the ground, when it reached approximately 180 knots of indicated airspeed, within 1 second of each other, both of the fuel cutoff switches went from run to off or cutoff, indicating that there was no more fuel flowing to the engines. At that point, one of the pilots is heard in the voice bit saying, "Why did you turn off the fuel?" And the other one says, "I didn't do that." And let me be clear, these are not exact transcripts, but those may come out in a final report. That was actually one of the bones of contention at this point, is there are no explicit transcripts. There are paraphrases.
Do we know if the interactions were in Hindi or were they in English?
We do not.
Okay.
At that point, a couple seconds later, the fuel switches were turned back on. The ram air turbine deployed, which is part of the emergency system. If there's no thrust or power to any of the electronics, it deploys to power some of the hydraulics and some of the emergency equipment. The first engine started to spool back up because the flight computer worked as it was expected. And as soon as fuel started flowing again, it started to do its thing. The second engine started the process of starting to spool back up, but never completed its slowing, if you will. And then the plane crashed, and all on board save one died.
What?
And another 20 on the ground or so. So, yeah, the fuel cutoff thing is definitely where the focus is going to be. It was interesting the way the report was written, in that it was like, it starts with, look, here's a picture showing that the fuel switches were found in the run mode and in the crashed wreckage. Sort of almost trying to say, you know, distract from the discussion about that, but then later in the report going, and oh, by the way, somehow they were flipped to cut off at some point too.
Now there's a couple of things going on. Like, they could have been flipped manually. That's the thing we don't know.
Correct.
But they also could have, there is a service bulletin for the housing of the fuel switches that states they can inadvertently switch off. So,
One of the things that I couldn't entirely tell on that, and it was interesting the way the report read, is that while Air India did not indicate that it pursued that, you know, service bulletin action, it also noted that the parts of that panel, if I understood it correctly, had been replaced twice.
Yeah, I saw that too. You know, the way you read that was right.
So I think there's sort of an implicit, we don't think this could have been what happened because that part had been replaced twice. So odds of them being in the wrong configuration at that point are lower, but we don't know for sure. There's a whole lot of we don't know for sure. One of my biggest takeaways reading this, aside from, you know, tragedy, is that I expect we're going to have a significant amount of conversation about the video recording and the flight deck again.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, maybe the microphones in the flight deck would be able to detect clicking of those switches to know if they moved actually or not. Right. So there's some theory out there that, like, there was a short circuit in the electronics, and even though, and the fuel was cut off, even though nothing physically moved and then somehow was switched back on. I think that is incredibly far-fetched, but it is one of the theories that has also been circulated that I've seen. So.
Well, we still haven't gotten a firm answer on what caused the ANA issue that we talked about last time, where they had a rollback of both engines on landing, not on takeoff. There's never been a final report or even an initial report on that incident. So I don't know. I mean, it could be the same thing, but we don't know.
Aren't the ANAs Rolls-Royce engines?
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, they use the same housing for this fuel.
The controller would be the same.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it could be. There's opportunity where it might not be as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It just helps to have more information. I think a lot of people, I think Seth, your video question, I think a lot of people are going to say, yeah, that's the answer. I think the unions are going to absolutely say no.
I mean, just because they have every time so far.
Yeah. And I don't know that it actually adds, okay, it might solve this one, but how many more would it solve? I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's just the thing you never know. And, you know, do we know how many times we could solve something by putting a switch or a service bulletin or a process in place? Also, no, but we do that all the time. So, and I get the privacy concerns. I get that, you know, but, and I understand some of those concerns from the pilots, but at the same time, like, there are lots of people who work in high risk, high responsibility scenarios where they are monitored all the time.
You can work at McDonald's and you're monitored all the time. So,
hey, there are a lot of people who work at low risk, low priority scenarios that are monitored all the time.
Yeah.
Arguably one of the positions there is we're trusted more, blah, blah, blah. So we shouldn't be because it's such an important job. Like, we've already screened us to get us here, so we don't need it. But, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to, it's not about the wanting to track the people per se, as opposed to the what happens. And, you know, you have fights over how that works with the management being able to access the video and things like that. And is that really an issue? And, you know, maybe it's encrypted and only NTSB or Boeing can decrypt it with a key, but then you run the risk of data corruption that can't be recovered if the box is sufficiently damaged. Sometimes you only get chunks of data out, not all of it. And if it's only partially encrypted, if it's encrypted and you only have chunks of it, odds are you'll have less information. So may not be worthwhile there. I mean, there's lots of different ways to deal with that.
But. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could even be like you just are doing a rolling 30 minutes of recording.
Yeah.
Like, and you only get the last 30 minutes. So I don't know. I mean, I get where you're coming from. I mean, it's kind of like this whole, we need better, what is it, satellite comms with planes everywhere they are at all
for times. Location tracking.
Yeah.
And there's a plan in place for that, but that again is only for location, not for full dump. Yeah, full data of everything. So,
yep. I don't know. I mean, I hope that they don't vilify the pilots without, I mean, it's already kind of starting, but hopefully there's some cooler heads that wait until we get a full report on what actually happened.
I mean, even this is the internet. We don't do cooler heads.
Yeah, I'm aware.
I mean, there's clearly a shift, right? Like, the question I have is Air India's Lockerbie moment? And I say that because Air India just exited Gatwick altogether.
Mm.
So they've just dropped a ton of inventory from all these markets and they built up this Gatwick operation. So the demand is clearly falling off a cliff. Whether or not they'll say that is a different issue.
But did they drop Gatwick because they wanted to up Heathrow?
They didn't get that. They moved one flight to Heathrow. Everything else got canceled.
Oh, okay.
As of when?
I'd have to go back and check, but I was just reading about it the other day. So they're exiting Gatwick altogether at this point.
I mean, this was a Gatwick flight.
Right. And they've had a number of routes they added from Gatwick over the last few years.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the only... Ahmedabad Gatwick is the only flight operating this summer. I'm just pulling up. And in the winter season, they had Amritsar, Kochi, Goa, and Ahmedabad. So in March, they had 132 total flights round trips. That's 61 or 70, 66. That's two a day, basically. In July, they only had the Ahmedabad, and that was 23. So 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Back in the winter, they've still got Ahmedabad, Amritsar, and Goa filed. Who knows what other they've got filed for the coming winter season.
Ahmedabad is going to Heathrow now. And yeah, everything else is gone on the schedule for now.
On which schedule?
The Gatwick schedule.
Okay.
So like Amritsar and Goa.
Okay, they're still filed in Cirium, for what it's worth.
Oh, interesting.
And maybe it just hasn't processed through, but I've got Bangalore, Mumbai, Delhi, for Heathrow, and Goa on the bottom of Amritsar for Gatwick still.
Hmm.
But, and this will be as of this weekend. This will be as of Saturday the 12th is when that set of beta is from, but that doesn't mean it's the perfect data.
Yeah. I mean, they were also, there was something out there that was, they were parking 787s. I don't know if that's been confirmed, but there was some of them were being put in the, you know, put in, what is it? Storage for a little bit.
I mean, they've been doing that off and on over the years and scavenging parts too.
Yeah. And I think that might be what it is. So,
but that's been all going on a long time, basically, since they started taking delivery.
So I don't know. I don't know what it means, but
anyway. Yeah.
What about Malaysia? They had some new orders. What's the deal there?
The Malaysian Prime Minister visited France and attended the announcement of two different orders. Malaysia Airlines announced a firm order for 20 additional A330-900s. They have like six, I think, or four in their fleet today, and it had an initial order for 20, so this is doubling that. That was a relatively firm order, and if I remember correctly, those are deliveries like 2028 to 2031 or 2030 to 2033. I guess the latter, it's like end of the, you know, beginning of the next decade. Interestingly, Air Asia, which is not owned by the Malaysian government, also made an announcement. It's an MOU or an LOI, I don't remember, but 50 A321 XLRs. And that, a couple interesting things. I think this is the one that had the 2028 delivery timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that anyone could get Airbus today to commit to a 2028 delivery is kind of crazy. That's very soon, relatively speaking. The comment, you know, sort of scuttlebutt was you couldn't get anything before 2030, 2031, even if you wanted it. So that's a lot. The other interest, 2028, those planes start to arrive. The other interesting bit is AirAsia had at one point made a significant order for 330neos. I think it was 2018-ish. And then in COVID killed that. And now is talking about sort of multi-hub LCC network carrier stuff and wanting to do long haul, but doing it now with narrow bodies rather than wide bodies.
I mean, the economics would be much better, right? The economics of it all.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how many seats you can sell.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have to sell fewer seats, then your risk is automatically less.
Right. It's, you know, but and it kind of also depends on how many seats they try to cram into these planes for long haul. You know, an XLR can fly with like, I don't know, 140, 150 seats, or it can fly with 220. And that dramatically changes the economics of the situation.
Right.
And if you don't care necessarily about the premium, maybe you do two rows of a 2-2 bar, you know, lounger, domestic first seat, and then 30 rows of regular, and you got almost 200 seats on there. You could definitely shift the economics compared to the sort of 380-ish I think they had on their 339s. They had a lot of seats on the 339s. They still do. I mean, they still have a few of those. Yeah. So I think I did them. I think I 320. I wrote 230 here, but I think I probably typoed that. 377 on the 339s versus I've guessed, you know, somewhere in the 200 to 220 range on the 321 XLR. So I don't know. That was interesting. Also, Tony Fernandez showed up for the party. So, you know, it's because he's no longer CEO of the airline. He is the CEO of Capital A, which is the parent ownership company. And his title is also advisor and steward of Air Asia Group, but not CEO of the airline.
Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah.
So does that just mean you show up for the party and that's it?
Would seem so. I don't know if his opinion is valued for other reasons, but.
Yeah.
Mostly because he's also owns like 20% of the airline, 17% of that. Him and someone else own most of Capital A, which owns most of the awkward structures there. The other question that has sort of come up is the release specifically said multi-hub strategy, network carrier. And does that just mean Bangkok and Kuala Lumpur, or does that mean expanding into other options? And there had been rumors of sort of a Middle East something you know, Wizz Air's got Abu Dhabi now. Plenty of the Middle Eastern carriers have hubs, and some are doing long haul single aisle. So, Fly Dubai most notably, but they're getting some wide bodies. Like there's some weird, interesting things. And to its credit, AirAsia has been very successful with LCC operations in Asia, but can it expand that into long haul? And AirAsia X is definitely, I must say, the jury is still out.
I mean, do they survive? I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, survive, I think, yes, but will this long haul, and at the end of the day, if this doesn't work out and long haul starts to collapse on them, the XLRs can't be easily converted back, but you could just not fly with that fuel and you lose some cargo capacity and it's a little heavier.
Yeah.
Or you change your order halfway through and start taking regular Neos.
You take a few of them, test it out, test the waters, and then.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, it's right. It's 50 planes over 4-ish years, so you might not have a ton of time to figure it out. But maybe 2 years in, you decide this isn't working, and you flip half of them back. I don't know.
Yeah. What about Virgin Atlantic and their cabins? Are they getting updated?
Yes. So this is one of the other big sort of cabin bits that came out last week. The 787-9s are going to get a full refresh. At least in business, they're going to get the retreat suite. So that sort of fancy front row thing, going to be very similar to the 330. One of the interesting bits is that it sounds like based on the numbers that they will have a window seat suites today, the 330 Neo only has the retreat suite in the center pair. And that seems to be mostly a geometry issue of 1A and 1K, the fuselage has started to curve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, there's not room to put this in. So they will get, but the 787, the fuselage doesn't curve yet at those seats. So, those planes are going to have 8 of them. So call it row 1 and then first row in zone 2. We'll have it. The 330 Neos, the next round of those that are starting delivery in a couple of years will also be a high J config, larger cabin. And again, sounds like it'll be the same 2 in the front section, but then a 4 across the first row of the second business cabin will have this retreat suite involved. A lot more premium economy. In total, premium plus business, Virgin will be 1 seat shy of United's Elevate cabin for those 2 combined. So United has 100 total premium seats. Virgin will have 99.
Hmm.
United is still more business class happy. Significantly, but like United's 56 business class and Virgin's 42, but it's interesting. And they're going Starlink for Wi-Fi.
But the CEO, the 330 CEOs won't get it, right?
Correct. Those planes will be retired by 2028 per the current schedule. And so they will not be getting retrofit.
Gotcha.
So, I think those are all, goodish news, for those planes. It is a big deal for them to get the significant more premium. The 787s were very much in need of an update. So, that is nice to see. I will say one of the interesting things last October, Shea Weiss, the CEO, was speaking at Apex Expo out in California and talked about wanting to get to free Wi-Fi, but stopped short of saying it's going to be free streaming for everybody or what service it would be. And even noted that he was pretty happy with the Viasat service that they had on some of their planes. And that seems to be what it turns out. I guess it wasn't happy enough.
change of heart out.
I don't know if it's change of heart so much, but the basic comment was our 787s are trash. The others mostly work. I'm paraphrasing. We're going to replace it all. So, that is an interesting sort of feather in the cap for Starlink, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. What about the TSA and shoes? So there's been a few blog posts about this, but the TSA's not...
They finally issued a statement. They issued an official statement.
Oh, they did?
Okay. Yeah, 3 days after the policy took effect.
Oh, that's great. Let's see, we're timely. But you're not going to have to remove your shoes when you go through security, if you're not pre-check. It used to be if you weren't a pre-check passenger, you had to remove your shoes, but that doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
And so this one, if I remember correctly, this policy dates back to August 2006.
With the shoe bomber, right?
Shoe bomber. And this is also when the 3-ounce rule took effect. If I remember correctly, those were, they took effect at the same time. Does that ring a bell?
I think you're right. Yeah.
And the only reason I know that is because we were on our honeymoon when it happened. That's how I can date it. We got a note slipped under the door of our hotel room in Palau saying, by the way, when you go to the airport, things are going to be weird.
Well, it's a nice one to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we had been traveling with full-size toiletries. Like, and we had checked bags anyways, but it would have been an issue.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good news. I mean, it's going to be people moving faster. Shoes is definitely one of those things that takes longer for people to put on and off. And I'm sure there will still be people who go through a metal detector and something in their shoe sets it off and they have to take them off anyway. Yada, yada, yada. But sure. It's good. Portland got touchless only on one side of security. I don't know how that works.
The digital whatever.
The touchless pre-check where it's, you don't basically to pull anything out. They just, I guess, scan your face and you just go through.
Yeah.
And they got that on one side. I guess maybe they only have one computer that does it. I don't know. sometimes I think Portland is living an episode of Portlandia. That's just.
It came from somewhere, Stephen.
It did. I heard.
Birds aren't real.
I'll have to send you a video of basically it was like a road rage incident, and it is the most Portlandia thing. And it was here in Portland. It was the most Portland. I'm surprised they didn't hug at the end. Anyway. So Delta is adding Salt Lake City, Lima. I did not see this coming.
The dark board strikes again.
Yeah.
It is very seasonal.
What do you mean very seasonal?
It's like a 3-week run from Christmas into New Year's.
Oh, so they're just going down there to what? Deliver Christmas trees? Like, what's happening?
I think people and Christmas presents, but yeah. It's, I think there's feed at both ends. They're highlighting the LATAM partnership and the ability to push people sort of from the West Coast to Salt Lake into Lima and then from there onward into other parts of South America.
Okay.
And let's be honest, there's just not enough capacity between North and South America for high season.
Like, there's not enough demand, you mean? I see what you're saying. Yeah.
There's not enough seats. Like, those are markets where airline, I mean, back in the day, I want to say Copa sold, only would sell full Y, and they sold out their planes, right? I don't know if you remember going back that far. Like, you could easily pay $2,500 for what is a $300 ticket in February.
Yeah. So, a couple of questions. Why Salt Lake City and not Seattle?
They're doing LA.
Or LA. I mean, LATAM already has the multiple flights, right, from LA?
But you still have more. I mean, what do you have from Salt Lake that you wouldn't be able to connect in LA? LA also gives you O&D. I can't imagine there's a ton of O&D in Salt Lake.
Fair. They're doing this with a 763. So,
yeah.
I guess the range isn't a problem.
What else does the 763 fly out of?
Probably Paris or something to Europe. Hawaii.
Where else does the 763 fly, though?
Oh, for them? I mean, they do Transcon, right?
And they're also, and the other thing about LA is they're getting ready to add Hong Kong LA.
Well, so I was going to talk about that. Is that actually confirmed? That's just like there's a rumor that they're going to do another Trans-Pacific route.
I thought it was confirmed, but I could be wrong.
I mean, maybe you're right. I don't know. I'm waiting on Seth to find where else they fly the 763.
Honolulu. They do to some JFK, but not a lot. Kona. Lima is filed. So Maui.
That's a lot of Hawaii.
Yeah. Remember, like, that plane is basically their wide-body bastard child. They're keeping it around only as long as they need to until they can figure out what to replace it with.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing San Francisco JFK, Minneapolis, San Francisco. And then Hawaii stuff. I mean, I guess it's perfect for this route then. So.
I guess the analogy I'd make, we've talked about United doing similar things. The plane is free.
Yeah.
Right? Like, operating costs notwithstanding, you've got this hardware, you've paid for it more than once over. Like, if you can find a few people, you know, you can cover the cost of a few people working the trip, give it a go, see if you can sell some seats. And I think with the very limited run in very high season, they've got Hamilton overnight, definitely southbound. Let me see if I can find northbound also. But,
I mean, it's just, I think I agree with Foz though. Like, it's a weird.
No, anytime. Like,
That's interesting. Back. Okay.
So leaves 10 p.m., arrives 8:50 a.m. in Lima, turns around at noon, gets back at 7:20 p.m.
I mean, so even your connections are kind of weird. I guess you get the last bank out of Salt Lake City.
What time is the last bank? I mean, because you still have to clear customs and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the last bank was like 8, 8:30.
Yeah, you would need it to be like 9.
Yeah.
Hub time, what time did I say? I guess in 7:20?
Yeah.
Minimum connect, we'll say after, takes an hour as a minimum connect to clear immigration. Sirium, tell me what options I have. Boise, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Oklahoma City, Austin, Colorado Springs, Tucson, Omaha, Tulsa, Fresno, Palm Springs, Long Beach, Denver, St. George, LA, San Antonio, St. Louis. There's basically an 8:30-ish departure bank that runs through 9:30.
But that's still cutting it close.
Okay. I mean, that's an hour 10 for the first one of those connections. I think I'll take people sell that no problem.
Yeah, it's doable. I think it's a stretch, though. I mean, like, what is Salt Lake City, Austin? Is that like the MidCon red eye?
Leaves 8:35 p.m., arrives 12:30 a.m. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Not quite red eye, but close.
And what dates are you looking at these flights?
Oh, that was summer. Sorry. Let me check.
Yeah.
Sorry. Good call. I thought it didn't save that. Most of the same are still there.
Okay.
Fresno, Palm Springs, Boise, Colorado Springs, Oklahoma, Omaha, Long Beach, Burbank, LA, Tucson, not Austin, but, the others are all there. Elko, Nevada.
Elko. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Idaho Falls, Albuquerque. Great Falls. Wait, Great Falls, Twin Falls, and Idaho Falls. We got all the falls. Oh, this is useful. It also makes the Lima connection. Sorry.
But it doesn't leave them much elasticity if they have any delays, though, right? We can't afford any delays at all for the connections.
Correct. And, I mean, put them up overnight and see what happens. But, you know, it's also got a two-hour cushion down in Lima, which isn't bad. What is interesting about it to me is from an aircraft utilization perspective, this one just goes back and forth. It's not, it does not need to, nor would it particularly rotate inefficiently with the Hawaii turns.
So he's going to leave it in Salt Lake City and doing this. It's not going to do a trial
run. 2 hours at each end and it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
So,
and
I was going to say at some point, but
yeah, and I was going to say, so far, it looks like it is confirmed. Originally, it was just said that, hey, there's a route coming, Trans-Pacific route for Delta. It does look like John New York City has confirmed that it is going to happen. So L.A. to Hong Kong on Delta, where United operates two flights a day and Cathay, I think, flies it three times a day. Is there that much demand to Hong Kong?
It could be cargo, but it's also very surprising that they're opting for L.A. and not Seattle.
Yeah. It's weird.
Wait, is this the start of dismantling of Seattle?
No.
But you heard it here first.
Yes, Cathay. In the winter, Cathay has three and United has two. The fact that United has two again is crazy to me.
They can't do the Newark flights. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't do Newark or Chicago. So
fair.
But yeah, I mean, it's wild. I mean, they also have two San Francisco flights, right? So based on some posts from.
And Cathay has three San Francisco also.
Yeah, based on posts from friends of ours, Hong Kong is not busy, so it's strange.
But United is also selling connections on Cathay.
Fair. And they're going to start the routes to Bangkok and Ho Chi Minh City, so, and that'll be done out of Hong Kong.
Right.
But speaking of United, things are not going well for the Newark Nook flight.
No, it's empty most of the time.
Yeah, which is... Well, I mean, it's diverting, too, a lot.
Yeah, well, there's that little problem, too.
Yeah, but it is very, very empty. Like, you look at the seat maps, and it's maybe half full on most days.
Yeah, the front is filling up the premium economy section, but coach, if you're an E+, you're pretty much guaranteed to have an empty seat next to you unless you put someone there.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think the route goes away?
I don't think it'll survive beyond this season. I mean, not to mention the operational problems they're having, right?
Yeah, I would be more concerned about the operational than the load factor at this point.
Going to Reykjavik, as your point, diversion is not good for ops. So
I was a little surprised they did that instead of Kangerlussuaq, the old runway there. But I could also understand, you know, with the weather the way it is, and there's very limited accommodations if you get a Kangaroosac. So
that's what I think is, I think it's more the accommodations. Like if you get stuck there and you have to put people up overnight, there's really nowhere to put those people.
Well,
there's the one hotel in the terminal.
Is it still open though?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. Cause when we were there last year, they weren't sure if it would remain open because its whole business was the people who were going to Nook.
Arrived and had to overnight before they could go move onward.
Yeah. And so it's unclear if that's even there, but that probably has a lot to do with it. But surprisingly, like this flight's supposed to be about 3.5 hours Newark to Nook. It was 7 hours and 20 minutes before they landed in Keflavik. It was like twice as long.
Like circled and waited for an hour or two, and then it takes 2 hours to move to get past it, right?
It didn't even look like they circled when I pulled it up on FlightAware.
They did a couple of loops.
Did they? Okay. So it didn't render properly.
I'm impressed they loaded that much fuel on the plane. I guess
I was going to miss their diversion point, right?
Yep. Good planning on that dispatcher's part. I mean, Faz, are we going to do this? I mean, is this going to be your 4 million mile flight? Is the Nook to Newark point?
There's no way I can do it by the end of August.
And that's when this ends?
I think it goes away at the end of August or early September. I want to do the flight before it goes away.
Yeah.
And I'd love the Keflavik diversion because then I can get that line as well.
Oh, the things you hope for. Landline, which is the bus service that United and American both use at different airports around the United States. What's happening? I think, is United ending it?
United is down to 2 routes and they are ending it. So they've got Fort Collins, Denver, and Allentown, Newark. And after, like, Allentown, Newark is a relic from the Continental days.
Yeah, they used to run their own sort of jitney.
Yeah. Yeah, they had their own, they had a private company running it. They are finally killing it. So Newark Allentown is going away, and as is Fort Collins Denver. So United is exiting that.
What do you think is driving, I mean, not to be fun.
I just want to say, like, the counter side to that is Americans expanding. They're added Trenton and Philly.
Kind of. They've said they're adding Trenton, Philly, and I saw a screenshot, but you can't actually, they don't have any fares filed. So when you search for fares out of Trenton, all you're getting is the alternate. It's saying we don't have any flights from here, but we'll give you alternates, which are Philly, which is fine, Allentown, which is okay, LaGuardia, which is not okay, and Newark and JFK. I'm like, how are LaGuardia and JFK even showing up in this search?
Hmm.
Yeah. The problem with Landline, like, if you're in Allentown, it's you can either get in your car and drive an hour, right? Most people in that area have a car. It's much faster to do that than go to Allentown. Yeah, there's the advantage of parking at Allentown, but the counterpoint is in any sort of air ops, you're kind of at the mercy of when United's going to be able to get you back to Allentown on the way back.
Mm. Have they formally announced that they're ending the service?
I was reading something last night, so I think they've pulled the filings.
Okay. So, like, do we know when? I mean, because I feel like you're United probably sold some tickets on.
And they're offering people alternate accommodations. So, in the case of Allentown, they're offering people flight through Chicago.
Okay. I mean, gets you there.
Yeah.
It looks like maybe Fort Collins ends in September, like the first week of September.
Okay. Yeah, I just doing
it. I also wonder if maybe it's because United is having less success with it because it's outside security and Americans inside security.
Yeah, that's a good point. United also does some weird things with pricing with it. Like if you build it into a premium economy ticket, it like jacks the price way up.
Probably makes it a weird end on end. Like you end up paying premium economy from Newark instead of on the nonstop instead of the connecting traffic.
Yeah. But I think your outside security part is not a bad thought. They also just kind of stopped pursuing it. It felt like they didn't, United didn't push it. They really weren't. Whereas American seems to be like, this is a great option for people who need to get to these airports. We're not going to serve by flights.
Yeah. Foz, I do see Trenton. It may just be a dates issue.
Okay.
American.
I looked a few months out and I wasn't seeing anything.
Sorry. Yeah.
Or it could be the cities I was looking at where they might not have fares, so I filed the
cities I picked. Could be. I jokingly went for Trent Atlantic City because that's the one that Jason was making fun of and did see it. Yeah, in December I see it, even to LA. So.
Anything else you guys want to chat about? We got some cool bonus topics. We're going to talk about Bermuda Air, China with visa rules, Emirates and their premium economy, Allegiant and Sunseeker, and then Hertz. Some special news about Hertz. for our Patreon subscribers. So stick around for that. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, thank you for listening and supporting the show. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next time. Happy travels.
Take care.
See you later.